You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about fantasy football and NFL for sportingnews.com. Busy, busy time. You think it's the end of the season, but it's the off-season. We're previewing all the things that are coming there on sportingnews.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Vinny Iyer, on Facebook, Vinny Iyer, to check out the articles there. And we're going more in-depth in those articles from a fantasy football perspective here on Locked On Fantasy Football. As we keep going, we like to speculate and dream of what things could happen here going forward. So today we'll take a look at my free agent wide receiver rankings that I have up on sportingnews.com. I have them from a reality perspective in terms of player grades and how they stack up against each other and how they can help, but you have to look in fantasy football specifically of their upside wherever they go and the possibility of leaving their current team where they might have limited upside. So that's what we'll do here. Let's dive right into the top guy I have is Allen Robinson. And for all intents and purposes, I think the Jaguars want to keep Allen Robinson around. He's only 24 years old. Keep that in mind. He's coming off the ACL, but he expects to be fully healthy here in March. Why the Jaguars need to keep him is Marquise Lee. We'll get into him in a moment. Is a free agent, and you need to have a steady number one there, red zone threat. We know from 2015 that Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson went off together. It was a big fantasy football season. I recall having them in a league together and really added up to some big points down the stretch because they were constantly connecting in the red zone. Bortles was well over 30 touchdown passes. Robinson had double-digit scores as well. He's a big play threat, stretching the field, but always look to on the short passes inside the five. We know the Jaguars have been pretty good in the red zone of late. They were the number one red zone offense there because they had Leonard Fournette and a very strong running game behind a very good offensive line that has kind of developed. But Robinson, we know, is beyond that. He's a complete number one receiver. So I think of all the values that I'd feel comfortable with, I think staying with the Jaguars is pretty good. I think going to a team like the Bears or the Jets, where he'd be an immediate number one, would also be helpful. So the Jaguars, we know he's going to be the number one, especially with Lee on his way out. Allen Hurns could be a cap casualty there with his salary. So really could open up big time for targets for Robinson in Jacksonville. So something to keep in mind, but I think his best fantasy value is there. Jarvis Landry went in depth in him in the previous show on his outlook here, and I don't think he's going to be at the Dolphins, so let's hope he ends up somewhere with a high volume and the go-to guy status, and we mentioned that the Bears would be pretty ideal for that situation for Landry because he would eat up a lot of targets, be very busy, keep up his PPR value in a fantasy football league. He was a top five PPR guy last year and just dominated. So going to a team where there's a young quarterback, needs a little bit of security blanket help, I think makes sense. And the Bears, that's where his greatest upside is going to be, as well as the Oakland Raiders. Now we go to Sammy Watkins. He's a different case because he's frustrating for fantasy football owners. He had the year that he went over 1,000 yards in Buffalo, but still not a big touchdown score. Can be a bit boom or bust from week to week. I don't know if that's going to change, whether he stays with the Rams or not. I think staying with the Rams is actually not good for his value there because you figure they're going to get a little bit more of Gerald Everett, the tight end involved in the passing game. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, we know, are elevated there. Todd Gurley is a big part of the passing game. So I don't see too many things changing for Watkins. I think he'll still be an occasional deep threat. He could explode for a big game or two here and there. But I think what we see is what we get from Watkins. We've had several seasons of this, so don't get too excited if he ends up on another team. I just think he's still going to be that occasional deep threat. And I think some people look at him way too big. So I think that happens with Stephon Diggs as well. Because he's a bit of boomer bust, I think Diggs is a little bit more consistent. But these guys are more like a Ted Ginn Jr. and those types than you like to admit. Now, we mentioned Marquise Lee. We'll have to see where he goes. I'm just not enthused about his value going forward. He doesn't really score touchdowns, and that's been a point of frustration. I don't think that's going to change away from the Jaguars. He's always injury prone as well, and he kind of latches on there as a blip as a wide receiver three. So not a guy that I'm interested in to see where he goes as much. Jaguars probably capped his value, hard for him to stay healthy. So Lee, not excited about. One guy that I am excited about is Paul Richardson of the Seahawks. He's going to get a lot of money in free agency. Flashed, there are a lot of things he did, 703 yards, 6 touchdowns. Not bad on a team that didn't really throw to him much, just sporadically, 44 catches here. Didn't really see his role revved up until the second half of the season when they realized that Tyler Lockett is not going to do too much in this offense. Jermaine Kearse, they moved on from him, so they had to settle into Richardson a little bit more. He has had trouble staying healthy early in his career. Finally did so, got the big role, but Richardson I just like as a number two almost anywhere. And if it's a legitimate passing game and the Seahawks with Brian Schottenheimer, I really don't want Richardson there because it's going to drag him down. But anywhere else, really, like if you say Chicago is a deep threat there, or San Francisco looks at him, that Richardson could have a big, big impact for these teams. He's a good receiver. Remember, he was also pretty effective in shorter scoring position. May not be in the red zone, but from 30 yards out, he's a guy that they can toss the ball to. Use his speed, score, stretch the field a little bit. Big playmaker. And I think he could still be doing more as a complete receiver. So we'll have to see what we get from Richardson. But I think his upside is there. We saw some of it. He was a useful wide receiver three at some weeks in the right matchups. In Seattle, I think that potential increases away from Seattle. One guy that we know has had some good success is Mike Wallace of the Ravens. I would expect him to stay put. Jeremy Maclin is a good chance to be cut. Some $5 million against the salary cap there. Maclin really didn't do much. Wallace continued to be the go-to guy there. Now, the numbers did decline. There were more mouths to feed a little bit, and Wallace was a little banged up himself, but he's a little older and slower, but it's what the Ravens have right now until we see them sign someone else, that he's going to be their top option in the passing game, and they could make some changes there as well. I don't think Danny Woodhead will necessarily be back in potential cut. As I mentioned, Maclin could be gone as well. Benjamin Watson's a free agent, so a lot of things in flux for Joe Flacco. So I think Wallace, not the greatest value, but wide receiver three is what you can look at there. Now, if you're looking for values and guys that could be future stars and also key fantasy contributors at wide receiver, you got to listen to Locked On NFL Draft on the network. John Ledyard, Trevor Sikkema, they break down the classes, and a lot of good talent there, quarterback, running back, wide receiver in this particular class. So Cameron Sutton, kid from Southern Methodist, you got to learn more about him and some of the big play guys as well as we go down. Like Auden Tate from Florida State has been pretty good. You have Aitman from Oklahoma State that you can look at as well as a big playmaker. So a bunch of guys out there at wide receiver. We'll have to see where they land. But we know as the window for learning in the NFL has kind of been shrinking for a wide receiver, so these guys can have more immediate impact. So definitely want to tune that show. Do some advanced scouting for fantasy football on the network and make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the Locked On NFL Network. We'll have you ready for the offseason, all the things that are coming ahead. We never stop breaking down things that we see from a reality or fantasy perspective. Now let's go into some more interesting wide receivers because they're a bit boom or bust, but you look at Dante Moncrief here at the Colts. Now, I'd like to see him back with the Colts. I feel like he's the one been hurt most by Andrew Luck disappearing. I know T.Y. Hilton has had some disappearing acts as well, but he's had some flashes of big plays there with Jacoby Brissett. But Moncrief really needs Andrew Luck. He's only 24 years old. Remember this, a couple years ago, this guy was on his verge of a breakout, and we really thought he was going to do a lot of damage in 2016. That didn't materialize. Luck's injury hurt there. Luck not playing at all in 2017, took it a step further. Moncrief just didn't seem as motivated. They were a little bit disappointed in him, but the talent and skill set are definitely there, and I think somebody can harness that a little bit more. Maybe it's Frank Reich in this particular offense with Luck potentially coming back. Right now, we think he's coming back at full speed, so that would help Nomdé Moncrief. So he's a guy that I wouldn't completely forget about. Danny Amendola is an interesting study here because he was a fantasy PPR guy that we really liked as the season went on with Julian Edelman out there for the Patriots. We'll have to see if Julian Edelman comes back at full strength here. Edelman is getting older. Amendola himself is pretty old as well at 32. But we'll have to see. I just don't want to see him outside the Patriots. So it'd be interesting if the Patriots make a decision, say we don't need both of these guys. We obviously won a Super Bowl with Amendola, or got to the Super Bowl, I should say. They didn't win the Super Bowl with Edelman, so that could be a decision here on how they go forward with Amendola. But it was not Amendola's fault or the slot production's fault that they didn't win at all. It was their defense's fault. We know that. So Amendola filled the void pretty well. It'll be interesting to see because when you look at it, Chris Hogan was doing the damage early and scoring touchdowns. But when you looked overall, Amendola got involved in the touchdown scoring act. He was more consistent than Brandon Cooks and being involved in the offense in the slot quite a bit. So Amendola, you got to like his season. He helped a lot in fantasy when we didn't think he was going to be a factor at all going in with Edelman healthy. So I think the Patriots are going to keep him, and that's going to make things very interesting. Our next guy that we look at is Tavares King of the Giants. And the Giants may definitely keep him here because you have Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard, more of a slot guy. You need some outside help. King did a few things while Beckham and Shepard were hurt, but is that enough? We'll have to see. It's a new offense here coming in. I think King, they might look at him more in a West Coast offense, or the Vikings are going, or the Giants are going a little bit away from that with the Vikings' former offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur as the head coach, and they have Mike Shula as well, so there could be some changes coming there. King does have some big play potential, so he could stay there with Shula. But I think he's another guy that you might have to look over crossing over to a team like the Panthers as a cheap value play there. And we know what Ginn and those types have done before for the Panthers and these type of things. So look for King. If he's on the move from the Giants and steps into a more number two situation rather than number three, his value is going to be up. Eric Decker. Now, he may seem void of value. He didn't really do much as a red zone receiver. But he's a slot guy, red zone guy. I think he could occasionally pop up as a wide receiver three. But that's about it going forward. The days of Decker being a big-time fantasy performer died after the year that he went off for the Jets, scoring almost in every game. So that's the kind of situations that are going to have to occur. We thought that was going to happen from Brandon Marshall with the Giants last year. That did not. Now, we look at John Brown of the Cardinals. Now, he's a guy that I have some intrigue over because of his speed and big playability, and we try to pop him in and out of the lineup, but he's going to move on from the Cardinals. It'll be interesting to see if he can find a home here. I mean, I think what you have to see is the effect on Larry Fitzgerald, who said he's coming back at age 34. So Fitzgerald should be steady for some volume here. They also like a Chad Williams there that they drafted. It's going to be a receiving core and passing game in flux there with the Fitzgerald being the constant. John Brown outside, I mean, hard to say where a good fit is right now. He's a bit of a one-trick guy. Another guy that you could watch going to the Panthers or Giants to be help in that regard. So we'll see. But I think the key for him is going to a high-volume passing game the way Arizona was, where you can trust him, because he's not a guy that you're going to put out all the time. But in three receiver sets, he's the guy you're going to try to get out there on the outside. Albert Wilson of the Chiefs is someone that I'm looking at as crossing over and being a good bargain. The Bears should be in the mix for him. The Titans could look at him. I think the Jets could look at him. I think looking at his skill set, he's a bit underutilized. I think Tyreek Hill steals the show. We know the Chiefs didn't really open things up as much. They kind of kept it to the Hill and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt show there down the stretch. And for some reason, Andy Reid has an aversion to letting more than three guys touch the ball. And Wilson probably was very underused there. So he's going to be looking elsewhere. He's only 25 years old, and he's a very fast receiver, very quick. So there's things that he can do in an offense to be productive. And maybe ends up with the Falcons, something like that, where he gets used better. The 49ers in between Pierre Garçon and what they have with Marquise Goodwin. So there are a lot of ways that Wilson could have some higher value, but let's hope it's not with the Chiefs, because I don't think he wants to stay with the Chiefs because he can do things better elsewhere. Now we look at Taylor Gabriel. He says he can do a lot more. And keep in mind, before he went over to the Falcons and was a bit of that cog player, I think you look at him in Cleveland, he did some things as a starter that were pretty good. That's going to be the question. Our team's going to look at him starter as more a gadget player. Even when he was a gadget player that was busy for the Falcons, he really didn't do a lot of producing for fantasy football. So Gabriel, I think the talent is there. Will he get the opportunity is the big question. Kendall Wright, we've seen him in the past be productive, went over 90 catches for the Titans in PPR, but Kendall Wright, we'll have to see where he goes. I don't know if he's going to ever get that volume again. He's a free agent from the Bears. He was very productive with the Bears when they asked him to be in the slot, but still very limited upside. He's a PPR-only guy that you look at, but we'll be on the lookout for where he lands. He could easily land in that void that Miami's about to have with Landry leaving there and maybe pick up some catches in that offense. So really comes about to be the pecking order and what opportunities are there for a guy that's pure reception-based value. I think Dontrell Inman did enough where the Bears have to consider bringing him back. There's a few things to like about him. He's 29 years old, however. This is kind of surprising. He's 6'3", 205, so good red zone threat, good speed if you need it. He's just not anything spectacular about him. So his best case is probably staying with the Bears and seeing if he can do a little bit more. But at 29, I think they'll move on. Otherwise, Inman is going to be off the fantasy radar. One guy that I wouldn't kick off the fantasy radar completely is Terrell Pryor of the Redskins. It really depends on where he lands. The Browns will be tricky with Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon there. I don't know if I would love that spot. The Jets are an intriguing spot. They give him an opportunity there opposite Robbie Anderson on the cheap side. And maybe you look at the Raiders, maybe going back there. If Michael Crabtree moves on, they look for a big target, and they don't go after Landry, Pryor might have some appeal there. So all kinds of things you can look at with Pryor. I think he still has plenty of talent. I know it was an off year where he didn't really fit in the Redskins' offense, and he kind of faded out of it and very disappointed in that one-year deal. That's why he got the one-year deal. That's why teams were afraid. But I just want to wait and see with Pryor. I don't think you'll see him round into his 2016 form all of a sudden. Cody Latimer, keep in mind the Broncos are dealing with some salary cap issues that might mean that Emmanuel Sanders is gone. I think he's probably gone. The question is Demaryius Thomas out the door? Either way, there's an opening there for Latimer if they bring him back at age 25. He's a 6'2", 215-pound receiver. They've been waiting. As a second-round pick, they thought they would get a little bit more out of him. But he's one of those guys that I think gets that opportunity, maybe elsewhere, to be that number two and be consistent. Then you're looking at some value there for sure because of the size and the ability to finish in the red zone and score some touchdowns here. So we'll have to see this play out a little bit. But I've liked Lattimore since he was in Indiana, and I think things haven't necessarily broken his way in Denver. A good quarterback would help there for sure if he resigns. And finally, the last guy I'll talk about, kind of you can tell that this is not necessarily the best way to go after improving your team at wide receiver, but Jordan Matthews. Remember, he had some good value there with the Eagles as the slot volume and catching balls and having some potential in the red zone, but man, he just couldn't stay healthy last year. Knee and ankle injuries. We thought he was going to be a bigger part of the Bills offense there. It turned out it would all be a mess with Zay Jones and Deontay Thompson, the likes of those guys. Matthews still couldn't stand out. So that's a little bit worrisome, but he's still a guy that we want to keep an eye on because he is talented. We know he had the drops early in his career, but he's got big hands as a slot receiver, big body as well. So kind of a very cheap version of Marcus Colston. Now he just has to kind of find a team that's going to help him produce even to the point of being a fraction of what Colston was over the years for the Saints. So there you have it. It's a not that great class of wide receivers overall, but there are some options and some sleepers that if they move teams can be a lot more effective. We've seen this happen a lot. Wide receiver guys that were not previously considered much, and then guys who we've known as big names sign their big deal and completely fade as well. So again, this has been Vinny Iyer for Locked On Fantasy Football, doing a little bit of off-season strolling through my articles at SportingNews.com, relating them to fantasy football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time as we break down another team or player in free agency.